Let's get her going on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandale, Frank the Tank, Braska is in.
Must be a special.
We know it's playoff time when we're bringing in Frank the Tank.
Seriously, bringing in the heavy guns here, literally.
Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening on Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, and Sportsnet Plus, we're glad you're aboard. And when you can't catch us live, please download us wherever you get your pod and text us at 590-590. Sammy will read them out. And have we got a jam-packed show for you?
I can't wait to see what we're going to talk about.
Oh, my goodness. As the Toronto Maple Leafs end their 82-game regular season, losing 6-4 to the Tampa Bay Lightning to finish the 2023-24 regular season. And so much we can get into as we gear towards Saturday night's puck drop, game one, Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. But before that, we got to put a bow on this whole Austin Matthews, 70 goals, and how disappointed Sammy is today, or Leaf Nation. I haven't got a clue how we're going to put a bow on this, but we're going to attempt it.
Well, I guess it's time. So he didn't hit the number. His parents were there. His poor mom was, you know,
swearing
a couple of S-bombs in there. I felt for them. Matthews had 7 shots in the first period, a feat which he's only accomplished 3 times in his whole career. So he was pushing for it. It didn't happen. I guess, does it change how you feel about the decision to play the games down the stretch?
Well, I am. I think I kind of made it clear to you guys about a month ago that you don't want it to end up being a distraction, like a major, major kind of everybody. It played out the way I thought it was going to play out. I hoped it wouldn't have.
Yeah.
And I really had some strong, optimistic thoughts that he could reach 70 without it looking like it did the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen.
No. Yeah, it became a sideshow, Kip. There's no doubt it became the theme, to the point where it was like, who cares about what the right play is? We're looking for Austin. At a time when, you know, the team is trying to dial in the last decimal points of perfection to try to get ready for playoffs. It was not what we wanted to see. I know Sammy had a tough time with last night.
Yeah, I want to be clear, because I know when we're coming into playoff season, we're coming into passion season here. We're coming into the time of year where you really get worked up about stuff.
Yeah.
So I really don't want to waste, like, to use a coach here, I don't want to waste one of my bullets on a meaningless game 82. Okay. I don't want to have these thoughts held against me heading into the playoffs. But God, did I hate that game last night. I hated everything about that game last night. I thought the third period, good thing they were close to Disneyland, because that was Mickey Mouse, boys. That was horrific. Hated it. Hated it.
Are we just talking alone about trying to get this guy 70 goals? Is that all you speak of right now?
Yeah, partly. But, you know, I think the Lightning were acutely aware of what was going on with their superstar, and I thought they played really well for half the game. They clearly went to absolute sleep in the second half of the game, like everybody did. The Leafs ended up scoring 4. But they played hard. They got their superstar his thing. Leafs didn't happen. Clearly, Matthews had a ton of chances. I'm not putting that on them. I thought the way the whole thing felt to me, it didn't feel like hockey.
Okay.
They went into this game, and there was one point of a hockey game, and it was getting this guy 70 goals. Their power play stunk for 3 weeks because they just kept feeding him the puck. Everyone was passing it to him. People are getting mad at John Tavares because he shot the puck at the net in a hockey game. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing? Like, you know, he drove the net.
Someone told me that you guys did Leaf Talk last night.
Yes.
And did you call Tavares selfish?
No, that was Bunk.
That was JD Bunk.
Yeah, that was JD Bunk. But he was very similar that he said that. These thoughts cannot be held against us going forward. It was just coming out that game.
I just find it so ironic that someone would call John Tavares selfish
for scoring a goal,
for not passing to a guy who is kind of looking selfish.
I thought it was the whole thing was horrible. I honestly couldn't hate it more.
That's not a knock on Matthews trying to get his 70th. I'm just saying that, like, it's selfish to think that a guy that's being paid $11 million cannot do what he's supposed to do, mm-hmm. and that's shoot it in the net.
Right. The funny version of this, and another comment that Bunk made, which I really liked last night, is about how TJ Brody hadn't scored. He had the longest goal this
111 route. Games.
Yeah, of any NHLer who'd played that long. 111 games, scores a goal, and he has to go give a press conference like he had been caught in a scandal. To be like, shouldn't have shot that one in the net. I wish it was an assist.
I've been around the game a long time. Yeah. Even after Tavares scored the goal, mm-hmm. to watch everybody's reaction and how...
Well, Brody's goal killed the power play, and everyone was like, oh.
A second later, TJ. Like, Tavares felt awful. No one acknowledged him. He just put his head down and went to the bench. Matthews didn't pat him on the...
Should they have acknowledged him?
Matthews didn't, pat him on the shin pads. It's like, it was the worst-looking goal celebration I've ever seen in the history of the game.
Yeah.
There was nothing. It was... Everybody felt bad.
Yeah.
It was so goofy.
I know. People were like, how could he drive the net on a power play?
Yeah.
Oh, God forbid.
It is very funny, though, that the whole team was like, we're going to feed Matthews, and Tavares was like, I'm going to stuff this.
Yeah.
Like, I know it's not...
It's a hockey game.
Well, it wasn't. That's the point that you're making. It wasn't a hockey game. It was a sideshow to get this guy the thing. They didn't get him. The one guy wasn't even a part of the thing to get the guy the thing. And the whole thing. And then, if you zoom out from it all, no one cared. No one cared about that game. So who cares anyway, right? The Tampa dressed 17 in their third string. Leafs dressed a guy they haven't played in 2 months. And the whole thing was just a farce.
And that's why I'm not using one of my bullets.
You used one. Yeah,
it's already gone. So... 5 or 10 years from now, from 20 years from now,
yeah.
When we talk about Austin Matthews scoring 69, are we going to remember like the last couple of games here?
And the first thing we're
going to remember is how bizarre it was to try to get to 70. I think it stays for a very long time.
You want it to stay?
No, I don't want it to stay.
But when I
see that 69,
yeah.
I'm going to think about. Like, how bizarre it was to try to get him 70.
Well, I think a lot of people disagree with you there. A lot of hockey fans loved this season, the chase, hitting 69.
I hope so. Yeah. I hope it's not.
It's a spectacular season. And I've made this case to 100 people, not everyone who will listen. But, like, if your team scores 320 goals and you have 69 or 70, you still contributed this much of the pie. You know, maybe it's this much.
See,
I think
it's still out there. And it's to be concluded because you cannot just cut off a line here going into the Boston series. Mm-hmm. There is what kind of effect did the last few games have going into Boston?
Yeah.
If the Leafs were to lose in 5 games and Austin scores 1 in 5, do you think people will be dragging in the last week and a half
into the series? Good.
Is that a possibility?
Very much so. Of course it is. That was always what was at stake with the decision to play these final few games. And I wrote about this where I said, I think he should not play because even if he, I just think the perception of what his priorities are, what the team's priorities are, would be better. And you could feel good going into the playoffs that you made the team thing a priority. I was vastly overruled by every single person I talked to. Everyone wanted him to pursue 70, even longtime hockey guys. So I get it. I get why they did it for him. But now, yes, now that's what's on stake. Another thing for this core of pursuing a self thing instead of prioritizing a team thing.
They get through Boston and no one's going to remember the last 2 games.
And there's a very good chance he's excellent, And even if they lose to Boston and he has, 5 goals in 7 games, an awesome series. I think he's not going to catch heat, but how he plays is going to matter.
If he has a quiet game 7, he's going to catch some heat.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course. All that is context for sure.
Hold on. Didn't you guys do a panel and you predicted something when you guys predicted that he was going to score 69 on the dot?
Yeah, that was me.
That was you, Kipper?
Yeah, that was me.
I actually think I said 68.
Oh.
Yeah, I had him at 69. But
listen, 70's hard. There's a reason no one does it. And when he pulled that one back into the middle from his knees and he has a clean look on a guy who hasn't played in I don't know how long, and he almost splits the puck in two in the bar, that to me will go down as like, I will remember that more than I'll remember a lot of the games, but God, it's just...
From the hash marks on a third string goalie,
beat him
in his sweet
so
spot, best
clean.
Shooter in the league, crossbar.
Okay, let's go to our first Kippers Clipper of the day on Sheldon Keefe and the words that he might have uttered to Austin, knowing that he fell one short of 70.
I was just acknowledging how it was 34 seconds left in the game, which was pretty fitting for the type of season that he's had. For it to regular season to come to an end like that, he's just played. He's played so tremendously well. I know, obviously, there's been a lot of focus on the pursuit of 70 goals, but in that, you kind of lose sight of just how well he's played. You know, he's playing well, feeling well, and it's been fun to watch. You know, he's the way he's played these last two games. I mean, you give him those types of chances and those types of shots, and he might have got 75. You know, not meant to be, and that's okay. 69 is an unbelievable season, and 34 seconds on the clock tells me there's more great things to come for Austin and our team.
Okay, so that's when he pulled. That's when the play stopped, and he pulled him off the ice. Mm-hmm. 34 seconds left in the game.
Maybe that's a sign.
Yeah,
you think so?
Oh yeah, great.
Okay, and for the record, too, like, yes, Tampa Bay had a milestone with 100 assists for Kucherov, and Austin's going for 70. It's a hell of a lot easier to look like a team when you're trying to get someone an assist.
Yeah, he's
than
get
trying
to, pass
to get
the puck.
You get to pass it. Once he passes the puck, it gives your team a ton of options moving forward. Those options weren't there. It was get the puck to Austin, and then Austin has to shoot it.
Yeah.
It sets up for a much more selfish-looking night.
For sure.
Sure.
And it's a hard scenario.
No, when
I just wanted to
make, to note
that.
Teams, you know, when you have a great offensive weapon in any sport, and it's the only weapon your team has, you know, the one thing they're trying to do, it gets awfully hard to make it happen. So, you know, I'm not too fixated on him falling a goal short of 70. I am fixated on the way the team looked, the priorities they showed, the last four games, all of which they lost, the amount of goals that are going in.
22 in the last four.
Special team stuff. Like, I'm very much in favor of just throw it out the window. But it's a lot of hockey games to throw out the window at the end of the year. Too many.
Yeah. Listen, I'm not thrilled about the last four games and the sideshow that went along with it. But I do believe that there's enough experience now through that lineup led by Austin and Mitch to come in and reset.
Yeah.
I'll go back to what I've always said pretty much the whole season. They're never as good as they look sometimes, but they're never as bad.
No.
And they have a way of coming back off of tough games and resetting. So that's my hope as a guy that follows the Leafs on a daily basis, that we're still going to get set up here for a hell of a series.
Buddy, it's going to be close. Let's listen to Keith clip 3 on the details lacking.
I couldn't tell you the score of any of those games, including the one we just finished.
But what about some of the details that, you know, you've been talking about? They weren't there all the time.
Yeah, they're not there all the time. They're not going to be. I mean, it's human nature.
Okay. So
I love him trying to, you know, like replay us positivity.
And Luke, just right in there.
Yeah.
But what about the details you talked about, buddy? Yeah,
that was great.
The one
who cares?
The one detail is, I think, a few individual efforts, and I think Willie Nylander's play stood out last night as a guy that, I don't know, is just looking ahead already. I think Sheldon made a comment
we had that
post-game on Willie Nylander. Let's have a listen.
Well, I think the last, like his numbers have been down the last little bit, but his game hadn't been. I mean, he's just last week, he was dominating play, you know, and just puck wasn't going in for him, sort of like it was with Austin, you know, here the last couple of days. You know, I think in the last week, you know, Willie's sort of shown that he's done with regular season hockey and he's ready to move along, but I'm not concerned about Willie.
I think that's a funny comment that Willie's shown he's done with regular season hockey.
I didn't like it at all.
You didn't like the comment or the play?
The comment.
What don't you like about the comment?
That it's taking him off the hook a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't like.
Yeah.
That and our good pal here, Sammy McKee, went out of his way last night to isolate it on his ex.
Sammy went hyper viral.
Yeah, yes. I think a million people looked at that tweet now.
So,
oopsie.
And yeah, it's a bad look. Yeah. I'm sorry. Any way you're
talking
slice
about Nylander
it,
not touching the puck.
Yeah, not only touching the puck, but essentially quitting on the fact that he wasn't going to touch the puck, but quitting on a line change as well.
Yeah, like you're not going to touch it and you're going to let them play. Get off the rink so someone else can play.
Yes. Yeah. And I don't know who came on. Maybe Mitch Marner came on.
It could have been McDavid.
And he sewered his teammate for a minus.
Yeah.
And I don't care if it's game one or game 82.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're playing the Florida Panthers and the Tampa Bay Lightning, and they have guys in their lineup that are acting like pros and playing hard, how do you not do the same?
I mean, this is Willie, right? And I'm not taking him off the hook and saying he gets different rules. You can hold him accountable all you want, but, like, this is... Or years and years and years into a career of this is, he does this. He has games and moments.
And it's accepted.
Well, accepted by who?
Like, Sheldon.
Well, I see, I think.
Done with the regular season.
When you get to this point on the calendar, it's not the time to blast your guys. It's the time to build guys up and get guys feeling good, and we're going into playoffs. And I'm sure he, you know, behind the scenes going, hey, Willie, like, can you give me better on that?
But what was that?
Doesn't serve him well to come out and kill the guy. I don't know. I
don't know if you kill the guy. Just don't play him. Just, you know, if you don't feel like
bench
playing.
Bench him in game 82 last
year? Yeah. Well, yeah. If you're done with regular season hockey, I'm done watching you play regular season hockey.
Whatever. You think a benching would shut him down for the playoffs?
No. But anyways, this is the whole theme of last night is that I don't
like
care and they didn't care and it doesn't seem to matter.
Yeah, but it mattered. It mattered to others, though. You know, it mattered to Florida. It looked like it mattered to Florida. It looked like it mattered to Tampa. That's all.
For the first half of the game. And then it really went into no-hitter.
Yeah, Tampa had 17 skaters and a third-string goalie. I mean, they got the guy's points and I don't know.
Okay. Where do you want to go from here?
Well, I think worthwhile to discuss what is going to come of this. Do you want to hear Matthews and Fallen Short of 70 or we moved on?
No.
Yeah?
Play it.
Okay,
play
let's put the bow on Matthews here. Him on Fallen Short.
I wanted it for sure, but you know, it just wasn't meant to be. And you know, for myself, as you know, we look forward. You know, you turn the page, and the most important thing is the team and the team success, and making sure that I'm pulling my weight and doing what I can as a leader on this team, and you know, individually to help the team win, and especially as we go into the postseason. So that's where my focus is at, and I think that's kind of where my mindset's been at all year. You know, as far as getting prepared for the spring here. So you know, it would have been nice, but you know, it wasn't meant to be, and you know, I'm looking forward to the you know, getting started here on Saturday.
I wanted it for sure.
We knew that.
But the rest of it, he could have had a team of speechwriters, couldn't have written a better statement about how the priority is the team, focus is getting ready for being good in the spring. Like, that's, what else do you want to hear from him, you know?
No. He's pro.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's all good.
It's all good from him.
Okay. Good chat, boys. I feel a little better.
All right.
I needed that.
What we need to talk about is the goaltending, I think. Because, you know, not great. I would have started Joseph Woll last night. Who, you know, went to Florida, had a bit of a tough night. You know, numbers not terrible, but gave up four. I thought they had the opportunity to say he hasn't played much. He's not going to start. He can do back-to-back. He's 25 years old. Goalies don't blow up if they play back-to-back. What did you think of Jones going last night?
If you're believing in the back-to-back and the analytics, and maybe there's some issues still with his lingering ankle that you might be concerned for, I didn't have a problem with Jones starting.
I thought that Sheldon knows his team quite well, and I would much rather see Martin Jones behind that effort than Joseph Wall, who's a guy that might actually face into your playoff plans.
That's fair. I don't think you're planning to see that effort.
I'd like a 30 for 30 on those games that Martin Jones played and at least won in.
Why? Why?
Because he was really good for like 2 weeks.
He was.
And how did that happen?
I don't know.
Those typical guys are 2-3 weeks great.
Yeah.
Right? Martin Jones, James Reimers. Like there's a select few out there that can be that can get you through a patch, and good on him for doing that. But they'll never be true number one starters.
No.
So I think Jones is he did everything that was asked of him this year.
Absolutely.
For sure he did. I would like to see Wool go, as I said. The Samsonov thing, he's going to be a week between starts,
yep.
Which, you know, I think they like that for him. They like him to have some time with all.
Just seems when he gets a Sanford. Reset and gives him a chance to get refocused here.
Yeah.
I think he's so key here.
How quick do you think they would go to Wool, depending on poor performance? Has he got any sort of leash?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it would. Again, what are we talking about? A guy getting pulled in game one? Are we talking about 4-on-20 shots?
That's exactly what
5-2 loss. I think there would be disgust. I'd probably think that they'd give him one more try,
mm-hmm.
and hope he can regroup. It just seems like they really stacked all their chips on Samsonov right now coming in.
Sure do.
So I'm not even sure a blowout in game one on Samsonov would be enough to pull him.
I think it's reasonable to say, hey, you'll get another crack at this. We've made you the guy. We're not just going to turn around and make it that tight.
He hasn't played against the Bruins much. He only played in 7 games in his career against the Bruins.
And this year, would he have played in two or one of the games? Maybe?
He's got an .899 save percentage and a .277 goals against
that's better
in 7,
than his regular
in
season
7
numbers.
Games. So it's like that's not a ton to go off of. But the thing I think of when I guess is Bruins versus Samsonov is that Marchand penalty shot where
didn't he
like twist his ankle with that backhand move? But yeah, that's you don't have a ton to go off with Samsonov versus the Bruins.
Yeah. So given the last little bit, do you feel any different about Leafs lineup going in? Have you changed your mind on Liljegren, Brody, or you know, stacking up all your core four on two or three lines? Where do you sit in the lineup after watching these past few games?
I want Austin to feel good, and I don't know where he is off of these last two starts. Mm-hmm. So, if it's me, I'm starting Marner and Matthews together in game one,
and then Tavares with Willie again.
Tavares with Willie.
Yeah.
Yep.
But
I'm on the other side of that. I still like the three.
Yeah,
spread out.
I have to say, watching Marner and Matthews, and I know these games that they played in, like they're meaningless, and we all know what the plan was, trying to get Matthews at 70, passed it to him all the time. It just didn't feel great and invoke great feelings watching those two to play together as a fan. I just think that there's a lot of scars with Leaf fans watching those two guys play together, and in a lot of big games, it goes down when they're playing together and they don't get it done in the big spots. I really do think that those guys being separate could be the best for both of them in a playoff series. Just in terms of how it feels and how it looks and having them on separate lines.
If Sheldon is true to his words a couple of days ago, we'll probably see then Domi, Matthews, and Bertuzzi to start. Mm-hmm. And then you have
how quick he'll revert.
You have Marner with Tavares.
Yeah.
I am. You know, like if Yarncroc's ready to go game one, what has he played? One game in the past? Like you got to get him in. You got to get him going. But as much as I like him to play with, say, Mitch and Tavares, I don't know if, you like, can you start Yarncroc in the fourth line and kind of work?
Third line? Yeah.
And so, like, McMahon maybe not quite ready either. Do you think McMahon will play? Have you got any updates for us?
I don't. No. I don't. I'd be surprised if he's ready Saturday.
So I thought the fourth line looked really good. Last night, Reeves, Kampf, and Duehr took it to Braden Point line at times. Reeves scores a goal.
I mean, We do have to just acknowledge the very, very high comedy of Ryan Reeves and TJ Brody both scoring in a hockey game that Austin Matthews needed one to get 70 and didn't get.
Yeah.
Like, that is very funny.
Opened up at the top for a 1T, blows it through. Yeah. No, but their line was really good. I really like the energy, the forechecking and all that.
And I get Nick Robertson. Nick Robertson will start based on the injuries, especially if McMahon's out.
Think so? Think he'll get in? Yeah.
What are the options?
So right now with 15 forwards.
We don't know if Yarncroc. We're not sure on Yarncroc.
Yeah. So they have 15 forwards. So yeah. You need three out.
Yeah.
Gregor's out.
Yeah.
You know, if you got injury to McMahon, there's one. And then you just need one more. And so that could be, is Domi back? Is Yarncroc back? And if not, I think Reeves is in.
Yeah.
I think Robertson might come out there.
Mm. Listen, I give Robertson a ton of credit here.
Yeah.
He's also giving you everything he has. The but is he's light.
Yes. The but,
the but is if he's not getting.
not a Jager butt. Jager butt.
If he's not shooting it in the net. He can get bounced around a little bit here. And I think Reeves, especially the way he's played the last little while, can make people look over their shoulders and get rid of pucks a lot faster.
I feel like the one guy that's gone kind of undiscussed in all these conversations is like Matthew Knies is just kind of lost, right? Like, is he's not on that fourth line with Duer and Kampf and Reeves. So I guess he's a third line guy. But, you know, they don't use him in offensive spots. They don't use him in defensive spots. He's just kind of do your job. If you get an opportunity, put it in. But I don't think it's out of the question that he could come out at some point.
I don't see it.
I don't see it, and I don't want it.
I just think
he's a part of the conversation.
He's a big body.
Yeah.
Been throwing his weight around the whole year.
He can. Yeah. He can
finish anything.
He leads the team in hits, if I'm not mistaken.
Leads forwards in hits.
He does. That's a big deal.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. He's just cannot. He is the type of guy that can contribute if he's not scoring just based on, again, being a heavy body, leaning on guys, and it's a better look for the Leafs when he's in there.
Yep.
So that to me is not an option. Holmberg, again, these are the type of guys that are going to have to come up large. I know it was a meaningless goal last night, but it's a good goal.
Well, and you know what else? He had an opportunity earlier in the game where I think he tried to pass it off the pads from dead in the slot, and I was like, oh, no. But he tucked one at the end of the game, maybe get feeling good about things. So, yeah, he's a no-brainer. He's going to be in the lineup.
Do we want to get into facing Boston at all?
Well, I read your article today in the Toronto Star, and I thought it was fascinating. So I thought maybe a bigger picture conversation.
Okay.
But maybe we can hit a break and come back and talk about that.
All right.
Do you want to tease your
Tease the combo? Just wrote in the article today that for me anyways, it does feel like there's the stakes have gotten a lot higher for the organization. Brendan Shanahan's in for 10 seasons now. This is his 10th season. And with Keith Pelley now watching, what does that mean moving forward? What would a short stint in the playoffs mean to the Leafs and the domino effect that can follow? That's basically the gist of my article today in the Toronto Star. And we'll pick up on that when we return.
Love it.
After these words. Real Kipper and Bourne. After these words.
Unrivaled insight, analysis, and opinions on all things Blue Jays. Blair and Barker. Be sure to subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. It's Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, and Sammy.
Sammy's much better off than I thought he was.
Like, are you disc jockeying tonight?
I know.
Are you mixing records? What is going on with the headset?
I forgot my nice headphones at home, and I realized it right as I sat down. I looked around. I'm like, well, going with the big Dumbo headphones. And I'm wearing glasses. Right.
You look like a real dork today. You look great.
That's all right.
Just before the break, we were just talking about big picture stuff here and what how you guys feel about this playoff round in particular, and for me, I just feel like there's so much more at stake here moving forward.
Yeah.
And just where are we with the patience of Leaf Nation and the expectations of what going into this first round. How for you, like, what are your initial thoughts on the pressure on these guys and the pressure on Brendan Shanahan or Sheldon Keefe or where Brad Tree Living fits into this because this is his first crack?
You know, I think when the Leafs lost to Columbus and Montreal, many people were, all right, trade a piece of the core. You need to trade. You're loaded up front. You need some defensemen. Make a trade. Break up the core. And then many playoffs have happened since, and more people have migrated to that camp, and it's never happened. This past year was all or nothing, right? Not this season. The one before was all or nothing, and it ended up being not all. And they still didn't trade anyone. I feel like this is it. I know I sound like, well, it didn't happen last time. Okay, well, it's going to eventually. I feel like if they don't get out of the first round, you're going to lose pieces. You're going to lose maybe a coach. Shanahan may be on the block. You'll lose a piece of the core. Like, it's going, you can't just be like, but next year. You can't do it anymore.
Today I wrote that Keith Pelley's the type of guy that isn't scared to make bold decisions here. You know, Sammy, would you expect big changes if they don't get out of the first round?
I think so. I mean, I've been surprised before here, boys. I thought everyone should have been gone after Montreal. And that was, like you said, whatever, 3 years ago, 4 years ago now. So I've always kind of been in that camp. I'd be really surprised if they went out in the first round, if there wasn't some pretty major changes. But I think the big worry for, you know, MLSE and everybody involved with the Leafs would be coming back next year. And I already felt like there's a bit of an apathy towards the Leafs in the regular season and a lot of people looking towards the playoffs and even into the playoffs. Like, I'm not sensing a ton of positivity about this matchup amongst a lot of my buddies. I think you run the risk, if you run this back again and just keep running it back and having the same results, of people checking out.
Like, on the regular season.
On the regular season and just having your regular season.
Listen, I felt it on this show with you two. You know, there's times you're like, yeah, they're going to make playoffs. Let's just get there, you know?
Yeah.
One of the things that I wrote today was that despite how you feel about rolling anything back, the one thing that may be the most major contributor to changes, if in fact it's a short stint for the Leafs, is Mitch Marner's situation where he's eligible to sign a new contract as early as July 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And he's unrestricted at the end of next year. His contract alone may dictate that he won't be around much longer if you've proven that the core four in your forwards doesn't work and somebody's got to go. Well, it's not going to be Austin. It's not going to be the guy that you just signed to $92 million. It's going to be Mitch Marner.
What is their ability to even trade him, though? Do they?
It's a no move, which to me is irrelevant in this because his focus is to get a new contract. He will sign a max contract, whether it's 7 years as an unrestricted free agent or eight with the Leafs to keep him or to trade him.
Yeah.
Right? A sign and trade.
Yeah.
He's going to want more than he's making now at 10.9. I cannot see him being paid less than Willie Nylander, which would put him in the vicinity of 12 times 8. He would be looking for a $100 million contract. So he's got a no move.
Yeah.
He can certainly exercise it right to UFA, but that serves him no purpose.
Mm-hmm.
He would, if he's getting indication from the Leafs that they don't have any plans on signing him for eight years, then he's going to want to dictate where he goes.
Yeah.
And you start the process a year out.
Yeah. Listen, I think at that point, in the scenario you're outlining, it probably would be mutual, you know, where fans would say, we have to move someone, you know, and to your point, they would love for it to be Tavares, no disrespect to the guy, but they would prefer it to be Tavares than Mitch. But you can't.
Yes.
You can't. So, you know, maybe they have that conversation first, you know, see if that would be. But, yeah, I definitely think you would get to a point where you'd say, we just need to do this differently.
Just move on.
And also, there are things that would affect that. Like, let's say Mitch is awesome in a loss. You know, that might change things, too.
No, No, let's go one step further. Let's say they get to a conference final or a Stanley Cup final, and Mitch is great.
Yes, which is so easy to see. Right? And I know these fans are like, them winning is hard to
you
see.
You go and do something but, like
no,
this.
No, I'm with you.
If they're going to have success,
totally
he's going to be
awesome. Yourself.
And I think he's at the age and the ability where it's going to happen for him. I do. And so at that point, yeah.
And now you got to figure out ways to fit him in.
For sure. And I think it would be easier to justify to the fan base, say, look, this is what it looks like, what the vision looks like.
Yeah.
He's a huge part of this. You know, can you pay him whatever the number may be?
And one of the lasting remarks that I had in my column today was that all of this, including Brendan, including Sheldon, like all of this could be moot, right? It with success.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
How much is success?
I've got it at a conference final.
Okay.
That's a month of playoff hockey. Yeah. The city's excited. You're thinking Stanley Cup.
Game 7, second round?
You can't go into...
You know what, Sammy? It's an excellent question.
Thank you.
And I do believe there's merit into what it looks like or how close you are.
Mm-hmm.
The fight and the dog, all of it.
Which is why everyone acts like last year they failed.
Right.
Because they, you know, they got to that second round and they just rolled over. And it's a different vibe if there's a fight in round.
You know, you lose in the second round again. There's the option of Brendan and Brad Tree Living saying, okay, we feel like we're closer, but we'll make a coaching change or we'll make a trade or we'll just do something to kind of shake it up a little bit and make people believe that we're close here.
Yeah.
That's what a game 7 second round loss could do, but it just cannot look like it did last year against the Florida Panthers. It's just, you can't have your season fall off a cliff like it did last year in the second round.
One thing I think is tough to see happening is all of the things. It's tough to see it being like Shanahan goes and Keefe goes and they trade Marner. Like if a new guy were to come in and be the president, I think you probably take some time with some of the other decisions, whether it be Keefe or whether it be with your core players. Probably that one. Probably try but, to...
You know,
no, a short round and Keefe's done.
No, Keefe's done. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. I can see that too if it's round one, short series type of thing.
Yeah, but I think, you know, you talk about a new president, that's a huge conversation or whatever, but like it feels though everyone comes in here and gets intoxicated about what the idea of what this could be with these four guys.
That's what I mean. That's like, if one guy comes in, I don't think they come
like,
in and
came
the
in,
coach and trade core.
When Treliving came in, like you've said it multiple times, that if Dubas is still here, maybe one of them is actually gone.
I think that.
Right?
Would be
and it's like Treliving was like, wow, look
you
at
all these guys.
Holy crap, they're good.
The first thing a new guy has to do is prove the old way sucked.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Okay? You're right.
Yeah.
So there's not a snowball's chance that a new guy comes in and says, yeah, let's give it another try. That's not why you made changes.
Not with the roster?
That's what Treliving did. Treliving literally did. He said, let's add a couple different types of guys, but let's keep the core of the team the same.
But the salary cap handcuffed him.
Yeah.
Plus, Brendan wasn't ready to give up on his core guys either.
And now maybe you hire a guy with the understanding that we need you to make changes.
That's the only reason why the board or Keith Pelley would make massive changes.
Although I bet Shanahan would say, if they asked, if it's changes you're looking for, I'll make them. Just keep me around.
Listen, of course.
You know?
Of course, and that's the decision that, you know, Keith Pelley would make.
Yeah.
Wow.
So high stakes for the, you know, this era of the Toronto Maple Leafs as you know them.
I will say, though, it does suck as a fan where it seems like every single year has just been so... Gotta win this or everything's done. We're all screwed.
Yeah.
And they're young. They're all young guys. Like, Willie's young in retrospect, in, like, the grand scheme of things. Yeah. Matthew's young. Marner's young. Obviously, Tavares is old.
They're not young anymore.
They're young-ish.
They're right in the peak of the wheelhouse here.
They're in the
not young anymore. They are right at the peak.
Well, they've entered right now into the primey.
Okay.
27 to 30 is like probably when you would expect the real winning window to start.
I mean, statistically, it's much younger, but yes. I understand what you mean about, you know, man strength and experience.
Primey, having the experience, like right here, these next 3 years to me.
Yeah.
I just wish they had like four round wins before this as opposed to one. But yeah. I just hate going in every year to the playoffs where there's just this enormous pressure from every other fan base where you're just like, yeah, well, if you don't win, your whole front office is gone and you guys suck and you lose in the first round every year. Like, it's just, but it's huge stakes, man.
It's a Toronto thing,
of
Sammy.
Of course.
This is where Toronto has a million Sammys out there going, this is the best or blow it up. There is no in between in this city. There isn't.
No, you're right. There's not. But I mean, I wouldn't have it any other way. I mean, we get to cover the New York Yankees of hockey, baby. Like, yeah. I want it to be high stakes. But it just, I am a fan after all.
Yeah.
And it just, I guess it's just existential dread. That's all it comes down to.
It's very hard to see a world where you trade Mitch Marner and your team is better.
Yes.
It's a very tough scenario.
Completely agree.
No, I disagree.
What?
You're talking about an $11 million window opening up where you can get a $6 million defenseman and you can get a $5 million forward. Like, There's some good talent out there for that type of money.
I guess it depends.
We do not agree.
What you do with that money, you know? If you go get, you know, whatever, pick a bad defenseman that's worth $6 million, they're out there. You need to be smart with that money. And so we haven't really seen Tree Living make any huge decisions
and
yet.
As far as this window, Sammy, it's like the cap's going to go up. It's just not going to go up significantly next season either. Mm. So, you know, you got to figure out what you want to do with Max Domi. You got to figure out what you're going to do with Bertuzzi.
Yep.
Like, those are big ticket items now.
I know what I would do with those two. I would sign one and say thank you for the memories, Tyler.
I'd offer them both 4 million times 3 years and see who wants to stay. Do you want to hear what Sheldon has to say about facing Boston? Do you want to get into the Bruins and
tomorrow we're doing the big Boston. We'll go deep into this series tomorrow, but
we're 47 minutes into an hour of us talking about the Leafs, and we haven't really mentioned the historic rival they're playing in the first round.
We got tomorrow to get into.
You know, if I can for a second go back to last night,
please.
All right,
yeah.
And just say that. You know, in my days of playing in the league in that window I had and then broadcasting for 25 years, Kucherov may be the best half-wall guy in the history of the game.
Just the deception from the half-wall is otherworldly. Otherworldly.
That was a perfect way to get his 100th assist because it's the one I think of most with him.
It's a signature move.
It is. Like, the tools that he has... Mm-hmm. Like, he is Pat Kane-ish, that's just bigger, stronger, and just the threat that he has on that half wall and the deception to shoot the puck, pass the puck, no-look the puck. Like, it's incredible.
It's incredible, but also anywhere along the wall, the play he makes to Point on the one that Point kind of half shoots, like a changeup. It's a backhand off the wall from below the goal line. He had an assist against Leafs early in the year against Lyubushkin, kind of made a play from behind the net. Like, he makes these little movements that people bite on a little bit, just enough to get a puck through. He's just an unbelievable passer, 100 assists. Freaking nature.
So Bunkus asked me on the show last night who I hate more as a Leaf fan, Kucherov or Marchand, and I was like, well, that's a great question. But it's definitely Cooch because of just...
He's scary.
He's way better offensively. And he's got, like... Did you see him? I don't know what part of the game it was. I think maybe midway through the second period. It had been a complete no-hitter. And he just skates in on old Gio and buries him from behind straight into the boards.
You see him walk in an untucked two-button done-up shirt? Yeah.
Like, he's just... He's greasy. Yeah. He's good. He's winner. Everything.
Yeah.
Perfect foil for Leaf fans.
Yeah.
Perfect.
He's a good one.
Tampa Bay and Florida are going to kick the crap out of
each other. Oh, my God. This is going to be a war.
This is why you can kind of see a way through for the Leafs.
It's going to be a war. That serious.
Listen.
Florida gets injured.
Boston's going to take a... If Boston's going down here, they're going to take a piece off of the Leafs, too. I mean, and the Leafs are going to have to give it right back to them.
The best part is that this Leafs team has more depth than they previously have. So you hope you can survive that. You may need them all. Here comes Connor Timmins. Can he stop wearing rollerblades on the rink? What was happening last night?
I don't know.
God, he goes down untouched so often.
I mean, he's been, like, okay for some parts of the series of the season, but last night was oh my god.
I mean, he looked surprised to be in a hockey game at times.
I don't know, is he just, does he feel the pressure to go create offense?
I think he has to go show, he really wants to show what he can do because he doesn't get in all the time and it just results in blown wheels.
I think Leaf fans are disappointed that they would have had a better chance to buy playoff tickets in Florida than they would in Boston, eh?
I don't think you want to go to a Boston Bruins playoff game as a Leaf fan.
They don't get that benefit, eh? Of filling half the building up in Boston.
No.
They suck up all the tickets, don't they, Bruin fans?
To me, that was the biggest, like, on the list of huge reasons that I would want the Leafs to play the Florida Panthers, the arena situation is near the top of the list. Maybe number one. It's just
so much better. This is great. Great for eyeballs. How fun is this going to be?
Oh, it's better for neutral fans. Yeah. But, you know, watching games in that building.
But this is just pain talking. I get texts from all kinds of
Leaf
fans.
Yeah, great. Yeah. What are they saying?
The same thing as you. It's going to be tough to enjoy this torture. Till you beat the Bruins, I'll never enjoy it again. It hurts every time that I watch. Like,
Barney.
God, guys. Move on from her.
We got a couple minutes. You want to throw in a Marchand clip?
Yeah, sure.
You have it here.
Yeah, let's play it.
How much of that is it just the history you guys have had against these guys this regular season? Do you throw it out the window, or do you take that as a positive of the history you guys have?
No, I mean, it means nothing. You know, like I said, they've changed since the deadline. You know, they're playing really well. In playoff time, everything changes. So, you know, it's a clean slate for every team. It doesn't matter where you finish, you know, how you did in the regular season. It's over and done with. It all begins again. So it's about starting from ground zero again.
They're a different team.
Okay. I mean, I get into a little bit of what you talked about the other day, that they didn't push hard in the last couple of games. But I hate the thought of teams losing on purpose. I'll never believe that. I'll never believe that.
No, I'm with you.
If there's a coach that maybe doesn't take advantage of certain situations, I can buy that, yeah. Sammy. Mm-hmm. But to say that the Boston Bruins lost on purpose the last couple of games to play the Toronto Maple Leafs, I cannot go there. Play the right way.
After the first period on Tuesday night, they had 3 hockey shots. And then they're like, oh, this is too obvious. It's time to try again. They still lost.
Yeah, they still lost. And they were peppering at the end. Yeah.
At the end of the game, they were. At the start, they were like...
Are you with me or like...
No, I'm with you. It's insane to think that like these guys tried to score at the end, but not at the beginning.
They wanted to play
perception.
Okay, who did they want to play in the first round? The Toronto Maple Leafs or the Tampa Bay Lightning? Both of you answer me that question.
The Leafs are a huge prize.
I do. For them. For them.
That's...
Not enough to throw hockey games there, Jontay Porter.
Answer the question. Who would they rather play? Tampa or Toronto?
Probably incrementally the Leafs, but that doesn't mean you throw games. What are you even talking about? It's actually taking away credibility from the show, the implication that the Bruins threw
games. You didn't say it. I didn't say they threw them. I said they played their stars a little less and didn't have as much
intensity. I think the coach didn't have an effect.
It didn't have as much intensity and...
Yeah.
They're not upset with the results.
No, they're not. Definitely not.
All right. As you can see.
Oh, my God. That's an hour?
As you can see, we're just warming up to the Stanley Cup playoffs, which will kick off Saturday. So tomorrow on the Leaf Edition, we'll get right into the nuts and bolts of this series.
Let's do it.
Can't wait.
Yep.
All right. Our thanks to nobody who joined us. Because Sammy had a lot to get off his chest.
To the rest of the league.
Don't go away. Still got another hour as we go national. We'll welcome in David Amber. Rogers Monday Night Hockey Night in Canada, and a friend of the show. That's right. David Amber to cover the rest of the league when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne. Don't go away.